This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to this week's Issues of the Environment. I want you to think about this for a minute. How fast do you drive out on the highways? Are you going faster than 70 a lot of the time? Even so, do you find that other cars are regularly passing you? If allowed, would you want a legal limit of 75 or even 80 miles per hour? Well, there is legislation under consideration in Lansing that would allow for those kinds of higher speed limits on some of Michigan's highways. The idea is to set limits closer to what people are actually driving. Now, as nice as it may sound to be able to drive faster and get to where you're going a little more quickly, there are some things to consider before reaching a final decision on the matter. Our guest this morning is Dr. Timothy Gates, and Dr. Gates is an associate professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Michigan State University. He's focused much of his research on projects related to safety and operation impacts associated with raising speed limits. Dr. Gates, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you. Pleasure.
Let's start with safety. The presumption is that if you raise speed limits, there's going to be more accidents and more people that are hurt or, even worse, killed. Does your research bear that out?
Well, it's a little bit of a complicated answer, but in a general sense, I would say yes. We would predict that we would expect that that crashes, especially injury crashes and fatal crashes, would increase slightly. But that's all tied to the presumption that travel speeds would actually increase slightly as well.
So now we get into the conversation about behavior.
That's correct.
We do know that in 2015, without any higher speed limits, the number of traffic fatalities went up by 10%. Now, putting speed limits aside for a moment, what behaviors might be contributing to those higher fatality rates?
Well, some of that might actually be linked to just strictly increases in traffic volumes, post-recession increases, you know, the economy's ticking upward, so volumes are generally ticking upward as well. If you look at crashes and fatalities as an overall rate based on miles traveled, we've seen a generally downward trending number or rate over the last decade or so. But you're right, though. Nevertheless, the number, I guess if you think of it as like just a body count or a number of people in general that are dying on our roads, they have gone up just in the last year.
And it's not necessarily the best way to decide legislation in just looking at one number like that without looking at all of the contributing factors, right?
That's correct. It's a very complicated issue. Anytime you get into a discussion of fatalities or injuries or crashes in general, it's very, very passionate, very opinionated, and there's a lot of factors that go into what causes a crash and what causes an injury, what causes a fatality.
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU with our guest, Dr. Timothy Gates. Dr. Gates is an associate professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Michigan State University. Now, anecdotally speaking, when I'm driving the speed limit out on the highway system, I generally have to go in the right lane, the slow lane, and I'm regularly passed by people that have to be doing 80 or better. Do you have accurate research that shows how fast we're really driving on the Michigan highway system?
Well, that's another good question. If we look at the number that's typically utilized in a percentile basis, which is the 85th percentile, and that means the speed that if you counted 100 vehicles or measured the speeds of 100 vehicles, the 85th highest in a rank order, 85th highest speed. So what that tells you is that only 15% of the people are going higher than that speed. Now, historically, that's been used as a threshold for setting speed limits because it's deemed enforceable. You can enforce that remaining 15% that's going higher than that limit. But what we found is over time, travel speeds have tended to go upward. And so what we're seeing now across the state on our freeways that are posted at 70, we tend to see an 85th percentile speed that probably ranges anywhere from 73 miles per hour up to 78, 79 miles per hour, depending on where you are in the state. Now, terrain plays a factor. Geometry, curves, hills, things like that play a factor. Of course, urban areas, congestion plays a factor. But if we're talking about just freely flowing vehicles, it's somewhere in the range of 73 to 78, depending on the highway that you're on.
And again, that's a 70-mile-per-hour speed limit. So I guess the argument against and what many people are postulating is that if we raise it to 75 or 80 miles per hour, people are going to be driving closer to 90.
Well, and that's a myth, too, and that's really the challenge here is to predict. So how will drivers change their speed behavior if we change the number on the sign. The best evidence that we have, and it's definitely not the same as back in the 80s when we changed from 55 to 65 and then 70 on freeways. Now we're kind of getting closer to that limit, what we call the design speed, at which, you know, where people tend to feel less comfortable driving. You know, you approach that threshold as we get up to 75 and 80. So our best estimate is really, as a rule of thumb, is about 1 mile per hour per every 5 miles per hour changed on the sign. You know, so if we go from 70 to 75, maybe we'll see an uptick.
To 74 to 80.
Sure. Yeah, somewhere in that range.
Let's talk environmental impact for a moment. We know the faster we drive, the more fuel it takes. Miles per gallon averages go down. Fossil fuel consumption goes up. Does it also lead to greater greenhouse gas emissions?
Certainly. Every vehicle on the roadway becomes less efficient at higher highway travel speeds. You know, as we get more electric vehicles, that's going to change things a little bit, more hybrids, but nevertheless, every fuel-consuming vehicle, be it diesel or gas, gets less fuel efficient at higher travel speeds. Now, of course, that's offset by the savings in travel time, but nevertheless, of course, there's more emissions.
And what goes into the air, at least in part, ends up in the land and the water. And, of course, air and water quality, a huge issue in southeast Michigan and around the country right now. How important is it in the speed limit discussion to weigh the overall environmental and public health impact?
Well, that's a good question. For one, it has to be a modeled result, right? So we can't really easily estimate. We can use models, and we have done some basic modeling as a part of our research. And, of course, as you expect, that there is a slight increase overall statewide. Again, it all relates back to our people increasing their speeds. You know, so if there's no change in speeds, then, of course, there's no impact on the environment. But, you know, there is going to be a slight, can I put a number, a percentage? No, I can't. But I could say that if speeds do tick upward, especially if we're talking about truck speeds, then there will be a slight increase in environmental pollutants.
Overall cost, does it cost more to maintain and upkeep the infrastructure? Does it cost more in public health costs? Does it cost more in cleanups by this seemingly simple act of raising the speed limits, which we have now determined is very complicated?
Infrastructure costs, and then if you put a dollar amount on safety costs, will certainly go up. But infrastructure costs, absolutely, will go up, because now when you redesign a roadway, MDOT would be held to the higher speed limit during that redesign. There's federal, state and federal guidelines that say what your design speed has to be given a posted speed limit when you reconstruct that roadway. So there would eventually be some initial infrastructure costs, of course, the cost to change the number on the sign, right? But there'd be some other modifications as well. But the big cost would be to realign the geometry at some point when that roadway is reconstructed to meet the new design speed requirement.
And given the lack of resources we've had of late to invest in infrastructure, it seems as though that might be a cost we cannot bear out moving forward.
Well, yeah, you're right. That would be quite an expense. And if you look at just the benefit-cost numbers, the costs certainly outweigh the benefits if we're looking at statewide implementation. Now, you could make the argument that in localized areas or where the geometry is favorable, you could potentially get away with raising the speed limit and not have too much of an impact. But if we're talking about statewide, there would certainly be a negative economic impact.
All right, now to the real deal. There doesn't seem to be much legislative support for an 80-mile-per-hour limit at this point. There does seem to be real interest in a 75-mile-per-hour limit, at least in some parts of the highway system. It's expected the legislature will take this up again over the summer. So as our time runs out together, here's a two-part question to end the conversation. A, what would you recommend to lawmakers based on your research? And then B, what do you think will actually happen?
Well, to answer A, I think that a 75-mile-per-hour speed limit for freeways is certainly less objectionable than an 80-mile-per-hour, at least in my opinion. But I would still use caution in a sort of a statewide application of this. I really think that, you know, if we're going to go with 75, I think we would want to go with a limited number of segments that have been vetted and reviewed and determined to be safer than normal, safer than average, and where travel speeds are already at higher levels or approaching that 75 or maybe even above if we look at the 85th, the average of the 85th percentile speeds. What do I think will happen? I really don't know. I don't know. I'm pleased to see that 80 miles per hour has been backed off. There's really no precedent for 80 miles per hour east of the Mississippi, just mostly Rocky Mountain and West Coast states. But I don't know. I really don't know. I don't have a gut feeling. If I had to guess right now, I'd say that we probably will see 75, but I'm really not sure.
It's even harder to tell during an election year.
That's correct.
Dr. Gates, thank you so much for your time and for sharing the information. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That is Dr. Timothy Gates, an associate professor in the Department of Civil and Environmental Engineering at Michigan State University. He has focused much of his recent research on projects related to safety and operation impacts associated with raising speed limits. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's a weekly feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and it's heard only on 89.1 WEMU.